Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, here enjoying this beautiful gardening weekend, and I'm so glad you're with us. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good. Super excited. I got a lot done the last 2 days that we were off, so.
That's good, but you also have a really busy day today. Where are you going to be?
We're going to be at our sister station's WJRR's Earth Day birthday over at the Central Florida Fairground. So I don't know if there's still tickets left, but there may be. But it's where all the rock bands come in. They do it. I think this may be their 30th or 31st year, something around that. Don't count me on that one. But yeah, it's I'm excited.
That's great. And Brooks had a wonderful time getting that set up too.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's our digital person for Orlando. So yep, she's been having a good time. So.
Excellent. Well, you're gonna have great weather for it. I'm going to be out at Lowe's Earth Day celebrations with the city of Sanford. So if you're in Sanford today, you can stop by and see me. I will help you decorate your landscape. I'll help you buy plants, whatever you'd like. We'll just make it. We're going to have a lot of giveaways there, free shower heads and things like that. Plus, there'll be a big drawing. Don't know what for, but it's probably a grill. Probably a grill.
But not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed. Maybe. And that's the, I've got to turn.
You're so popular. I want to be Teresa whenever I grow up.
I want to be Teresa when I grow up. And so the weather this week, it is May. And so the dry weather plus the hot temperatures are normal. They're typical for May. And so we are going to get rain on Monday. But let me tell the rest of the state what's going on. And so Key West, low 80s, no rainfall, but the weather is going to be dynamite. And it's perfect weather for circus cat sunsets. Have you ever seen the circus cats down in Key West?
No, I have not. I haven't been down to Key West since I was a little kid when my dad worked for the railroad.
You've got to take a trip down there. The circus cat sunsets. The circus cats go on the wires, the high wires, and they walk on them. Seriously.
Okay, how many Transformers have blown out?
And it's great beach weather. So, Key West, enjoy your weather. Great time to put in a garden. This is National Gardening Month, so you'll have great weather to do that. Tampa, you're a little cooler this week. Low 80s with a 40% chance of rain on Monday. So I think everybody's going to get a little bit of rain, scattered rain throughout the state. And then Orlando, 91 today. Wow, it's just hot.
Mm-hmm.
And rain on Monday, and then the rest of the week is in the mid-80s. This is what May is all about, I'm going to tell you. North Florida, hopefully you'll get some rain today and cooler temperatures all week. Cooler being relative.
Okay.
Mid to upper 70s and mid-80s for you up there in the panhandle, so... just enjoy the rain. We need it desperately. So.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know what our water table or difference or what is needed, but all I know is my driveway needs it really bad to the point where I almost put my sprinkler system out there just to wet it down because I hate dust. I hate
dust. No. And there's still a lot of pollen out there. So when I come out, to the driveway, my car is covered in pollen.
Yes.
And so, that's going in. Our cherry tomatoes are going strong. Our peppers and our tomatoes are doing well. We've got parsley. All our herbs are doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited about the peppers. They're Gary's peppers. And so the Aleppos and all of the wonderful varieties he gave us. So we've got about 20. Our leeks are doing great. Our green scallions are doing great. And I bought more plants.
Me too. High five, girl. Air five.
And so it's just one of those things I can. Oh, and I got to tell you, I have blueberries.
What?
I have plump blueberries. I'm not telling anyone because remember last year, they just disappeared overnight.
Word got out.
Yeah, word got out. So, but my blueberries are going strong and they're looking great. And we are just doing a wonderful job. I want to give a shout out to the Clearmont Garden Club. I talked to them this week about natural pest control. And I got to see good friends that I haven't seen in such a long time. Pat Richardson, Gwen Carter, Tina Worrell. Just haven't seen them in a while, and it was just so much fun. Gwen Carter is the president through 2025, and they do such a great job of education. They have classes there. ClearmontGardenClub.com. If you're new to the state of Florida, haste thee to a garden club and join. You will learn so much about gardening. Everybody's so willing to share, and they have such great events. And so ClaremontGardenClub.com, tell them I said hi, because I love that. I'm, again, going to be at the Lowe's today from 9:30, right after the show. I'm heading straight there to 12. Bring me your sick and, impoverished plants, and I will look at them and give you some advice. I just had someone text me this morning, and they had transplanted their cardboard palm, and now all of the fronds are dying. Well, the cardboard palm's going to make it, but it's just going through a little bit of shock. So just making sure that when you transplant plants, especially this time of the year when we're not getting a lot of rainfall and the ground, the soil is very dry, that you water it well for a couple of days beforehand, water it then for like 2 to 3 weeks afterwards, and it will recover.
Now, this is just what I was always taught. Whenever I go to plant something, I turn the hose on and I fill up the hole that I've dug till it literally the water will sit there for a little bit before it drains. Like about 5-10 minutes. Like I make sure there's that much water, and then that's whenever I put the plant in to make sure there's plenty of.
Right. And so you just got to fill it up, and you may have to do that 2 or 3 times, and then finally it gets saturated.
Yes.
That's when you put it in, because if you don't, you're going to put a plant in a dry area and it's going to wick all the water out. So we've got a great show for you today. We have the Little Red Wagon Native Nursery coming up. I'm so excited. And we have Kim Roman in our second hour from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Anita Camacho is the president and founder of the Tampa Bay Butterfly Foundation and member of the North American Butterfly Association, the Tampa Bay chapter. And they work together at the state and local level to conserve butterflies and to educate the public about the importance of butterflies and other pollinators. She is intense about learning all about Lepidoptera. She has traveled all around the country, Canada, and Kenya to learn more, and she's an avid gardener for over 40 years, and specifically gardening for butterflies, pollinators, and roses. Her home gardens were on the Rose Circle Annual Garden Tour in South Tampa, and it was a big hit. They had a record number of attendees that year. So, Anita, I could go on and on about your amazing activities and programs and organizations, but I wanted to hear from you directly, so tell us a little bit about your nursery, the Little Red Wagon Nursery. Where did the name come from?
Well, the name actually came from, childhood dreams and happy times, thinking of yesterday and how things were so relaxed and easier growing up. And with my love of nature, just thinking about how to put back real Florida back into Florida, which is native plants. And the thing that kept coming back to me is Little Red Wagon. And so consequently, I just said, I'm just going to call it Little Red Wagon Native Nursery, because that's what we're trying to do. And it works really well.
Oh, it does. It's a wonderful name. And so you're located in Tampa. So tell us about how long have you been operating, and, you know, a little bit about where you're located.
So we're located in South Tampa at 4113 Henderson Boulevard. And we started in April of 2020 during the pandemic shutdown. So that's when we got started, and then we opened our location in August of 2020.
That's great. I'm so glad to see native plants and nurseries popping up all over. It's wonderful. So what do you think, Anita, is the most important factor to start with when you want a landscape with native shrubs and perennials?
Well, it's like any plant. You really want to look at your goals, take a look at your landscape, figuring out what is your sun exposure, is it a shady spot, is it a very sunny location? What are your watering requirements? Do you have a very wetland area, or is it a very, very dry area? Do you have sprinklers or not? And how you'll manage getting the plants established. So really it's about location and making sure you're planting the right plant in the right place so that it has the strongest opportunity to survive.
The wildflowers and natives this year are doing so well. I've seen them all up and down when I drive, so they're just beautiful. So do you need to, Anita, prep the soils before you plant natives in them?
Well, it really depends on what's happened to the soil previously and what's in the ground. Typically speaking, if you're just planting in a sandy soil landscape, you don't have to do anything. The native plants evolved in sandy soil here in Florida, so that's what they're accustomed to. So there really isn't a lot of amendment needed, and they don't like fertilizer that typically can burn up the roots, especially of young plants when you're planting.
Right. That's a really good point. Lizzie and I were just talking about fertilizer, and I appreciate that you said that. And so do native gardens need an irrigation system?
Well, really, like, again, as I mentioned, it's really about what your goals are. To establish, you definitely need to be watering once a day for about the first 30 days for most plants. And then after that, you taper off, and they should start to go and do fine on their own. But there are times of the year where it gets pretty dry, and you might have to add a little bit of water here and there to keep them going.
Yeah, we had a dry year last year, so yeah, I'm looking forward to the rainy season. Yeah, so what kind of plants does Little Red Wagon Native Nursery carry?
Well, 99% of our plants are native. We have a few plants that are not, that are just host plants for butterflies, and that's one of our main focuses. Things like, you know, some herbs, dill, fennel, and rue, but predominantly, it's all native. We focus a lot on host plants for butterflies as well as good nectar resources. And so people can bring a lot of movement into their landscapes and bring in the butterflies, bring in the bees, the wild bees, and birds.
So what are a few of your favorites to plant that are easy for beginners to plant in a native landscape?
Well, I have a lot of favorites.
Yeah, isn't that the
hard,
truth?
You know, it's like kids. You don't want to pick just one. But I would say my number one favorite plant is the oak, the oak species, and because it supports so much wildlife. The live oak and other oaks support about 90 different species of butterflies and caterpillars, which is amazing to me, and up to 600 to 900 species of wildlife. So it's just a keystone plant, and it's a powerhouse, and it does so much for our environment. So if I had to pick one plant, that's my favorite.
That's interesting, because people don't usually associate oak trees with butterflies and pollinators.
Well, and that's what's kind of interesting about oaks. There's so much that they do. Even the leaf litter is important to a lot of the species. The red-banded hair streak uses it, the dead leaves and the live leaves, for that matter, as a host plant for their caterpillars. So, and a lot of species pupate and leaf litter, which the leaf litter is very important. They call it leaves for a reason. You should leave them. You know, so it's one of those things that the plant provides everything that's needed. Those leaves break down into the soil and provide a lot of nutrients back into the soil. So it's kind of it's an all-in-one plant, really.
And it would be great for attracting birds, too. So what kind of plants, native plants, should you plant for birds?
Well, again, the oak that as well. It provides habitat. It provides caterpillars for their babies. So, but there's, you know, for birds, there's a lot of other things. And a couple of my other favorite plants for host plants and nectar plants would be milkweed, of course, for monarchs. Mm-hmm. My favorite one is Asclepias perennis, which is what they call aquatic milkweed or white milkweed. It doesn't mean it has to be in water all the time, but it does like a little more water than other plants. And it's evergreen, which is one of the things I love about it. And the other one I like is Corky Stem Passion Vine, which is a plant that they're both full spectrum. Both the aquatic milkweed and the corky stem will grow in full shade to full sun, which is part of why I like them. They're so versatile. And if you plant the corky stem, for example, in the shade, you could attract our state butterfly, which is a zebra longwing. If you mm-hmm. plant it in the sun, you could attract the Gulf fritillary. So you've got a couple different species that you can attract to your landscape, and it, you know, brings in a lot more movement. Plus, the corky stem also gets berries for the birds. So it's kind of one of those plants that covers a lot of territory.
That's important. I'm glad you said that. So it's, you know, how important is not using pesticides in the landscape? When people see their plants being eaten, they panic. What can you tell them about, you know, treating the landscape for insects?
Well, that's our biggest mission, really. At the end of the day, for me, pesticide exposure is a big one. That's actually how I got into this in the first place, was eliminating pesticides in my landscape. My mother was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 30 years ago when I started doing the research on that and what causes it, and everything kept leading me to toxic pesticide exposure. So pesticide exposure is not just hurting the things outside, it's hurting us.
Right.
So we're not making that connection that we need nature, we need these animals eating these plants, and we need these pollinators and we need the bugs in order for our own survival. So it is important to allow something to be eating, it's these things to be eating your plants and being part of the ecosystem and sharing with nature.
Right.
So it is critical.
It is. And I just think people overdo it. They just don't want any insects at all. And so they're just spraying like monthly, quarterly, and, you know, just round the clock. And we shouldn't spray unless we have a severe problem. And there's ways to do it with integrated pest management. So I appreciate you.
And I guess it depends on what you consider a problem, because most of the things that might come out are food for other things. And nature has a way of balancing itself out with predators to come and take care of what we'll call, I'll put in quotes, problems.
Exactly.
So a lot of times it's less is more and just watch and see what happens and give it a little time. Most of the plants that they're getting chewed up are very resilient and they come back. I mean, we have landscapers that trim things all the time and the plants come back. So we're okay with that happening, but we're not okay with the bugs doing the same thing, which we've kind of got to learn that the bugs have, very important combination of things that they're doing to keep the ecosystem in balance and just kind of watch and see what's going on.
I so agree. I mean, it's all about balance. And if you're, disrupting the balance by overusing chemicals, then you're going to get more of the bad bugs. So I understand that. So Anita, you're in Zone 10 now, right, for the new USDA map. What about freezes and wintertime for natives and butterflies?
Well, I don't really worry about freezes too much. I know they're going to happen every once in a while. We're very lucky where we are. There's a few plants that might get a little, what I'll call, frostbitten. I typically water the morning before a freeze is going to happen. It helps fatten up the roots so that they can take what's coming a lot easier. And honestly, if you think about it, nature does this in a way most of the time anyway, because leading up to a freeze, you have a lot of rain.
Right, the cold front coming through.
Right, so that's what the rain is doing, is it's warming up those roots, and so that the roots can tolerate what's coming. And there are plants that are going to lose their leaves. They might get a little bit, frostbit. Firebush is one of them, and maybe Florida porterweed is another that could take a hit. But those plants come back, and it's about patience. And I tell people, don't even think about trimming your firebush till maybe May. Because a lot of these woody plants will leaf back out from those stems, and you cannot tell necessarily by looking at woody stems what's viable or not. So just give it time. But, like with most things in natives, it's just less is more.
That is so true. So how do our listeners find your nursery and see all the good things and also join your Tampa Bay Butterfly Foundation?
Well, we're working on a membership plan right now. We're actually expanding. We are opening up our backyard, our native butterfly botanical garden. So that's in the process of opening soon, and we've opened a bug zoo. So we have a lot of new things coming along, so we'll be starting a membership. But finding us, just go to butterflytampa.com. It's the one-stop shop site for Little Red Wagon Nursery and Tampa Bay Butterfly Foundation all in one place.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Anita, for coming on today. Keep up the good inroads you're making in educating about native plants to Florida gardeners. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's time for everyone who has a garden question. You can give us a call now. So that's 1-888-455-2967. Lizzie will put you right on the board. And you can text me 23680. So if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, we'd love to help you. Please give me a call, 1-888-455-2967. There is no dumb questions. Call me. And if you'd like, you can also text me 23680.
Yes,
and
definitely no dumb questions, because you should. I like, every time I'm sitting here with Teresa, I'm like, Teresa, guess what? And she's so sweet. She's just like, oh, I love that. And I'm like, does that sound dumb? She's like, no. No dumb questions.
And so let's go to Tom in Merritt Island. Good morning, Tom. Don't disappoint us.
Okay, fine. So I just like to let people know about the Brevard Tropical Fruit Club is having their annual fruit tree sale 1 week from today, which is April 27th.
Okay.
Not in the Melbourne Auditorium, but it's on the lawn southeast of Melbourne Auditorium, which is at 625 East Hibiscus Boulevard in Melbourne. And it opens, it's from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Last year we sold over 3,000 trees. We never know what we're going to get until the trucks arrive, which is going to be this Thursday. But in previous years, we've had a huge selection of mangoes, avocados, and they've also had a variety of tropical fruits that are not so easy to find up here: jackfruit, soursop, sugar apples, jabotacaba, guava, mulberry, etc. It's best to get there at eight o'clock when it opens for the first selection, because by 11 o'clock it's pretty picked over. It's pretty picked over. There's still fruit trees there, but by 11 o'clock, a lot of them are gone.
Yep, so, you snooze, you lose. No, you have a wonderful sale, and yes, I encourage everyone to come out there. Thank you for letting us know, and I'll talk about it to next week for you. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tom. Again, bye. Claremont Garden Clubs, any kind of garden club in the state of Florida is fantastic. Also, your fruit, tropical fruit clubs are amazing, too. If you want to grow fruit, you know, try and join one of the organizations in your area. So I appreciate Tom coming up with that. I want to say good morning to Linda and Jim and Carol. We've talked to them this week. Ira and also Howie. Howie's listening to us at Peterson's Nursery this morning, so we like to say good morning to him.
Yes, my roses are doing phenomenal, so I am absolutely in love with my roses. So thank you guys again.
Ira went there to get roses, and he's been sending me his pictures, and I'm going, I'm so jealous. They look gorgeous.
I'm kind of at a dilemma for next year. I think we should run a best of for that day of the what I call a Rose Black Friday, because I plan on camping out, so I don't know who's going to produce your show that morning, but yes. And so
it's your choice of the pick of the bunch, right?
Okay, because you know we don't get any spousal privileges. They're the best sponsors in the world, but I, just like you, Teresa, we'd like to be treated like everybody else.
Sure.
But I'm going to do the Black Friday thing. You think I'm not, you come look for me. I will be on the sidewalk.
It's kind of hard because you want everyone to get their own choices and stuff, but you want to go, oh, I want that one. I want that one.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, so we've got somebody from Polk County looking for a pawpaw tree. I read they need two for optimum pollination. They do. I would try and go to the Brevard Tropical Fruit Club's sale next Saturday, the 27th.
Yes, we actually just had a listener call in and wanted to give us the information. So I was trying to quickly look it up because they didn't want to talk on air, and I respect that. But yeah, he said something about they also do scholarships for students and stuff too. So check it out.
Exactly. And so, you know, we really do have wonderful people in education for the environment and agriculture, and there are a lot of scholarships. And, you know, Florida is the best place to learn about agriculture, growing fruit, growing plants. University of Florida, also the FGBC, they all have scholarships. So, yeah, check that out and enjoy it. So Eric sent me some beautiful picture of his orchid, and it looks amazing. What a pretty color. Usually you'll see the orchids, and they're freckled or speckled, and they have beautiful colors. This one is soft pink, but with white in the center of the petals. And the yellow in the center is just amazing, just amazing. So I would, for a pawpaw tree, you'll definitely find one at the Brevard Tropical Fruit Sale. And that's going to be over in Brevard County. So check that out and you can get some really good selections over there. So let's go to Al in Tampa. Al, what's going on?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm noticing we have a big screen enclosure around our pool, and then we have the 410 St. Augustine grass in the back. Mm-hmm. I'm noticing a small red beetle that has black legs. You see it sticking to the screen enclosure, mm-hmm. and I see them in the lawn. Do you know what would be the best way? Is that a product that could be harmful to the grass, or is it just a seasonal type beetle?
It's a seasonal type beetle. Tell me, do you have a golden rain tree anywhere on your street?
My neighbors probably do in the back, yes.
Yes. Those little bugs are called golden rain tree bugs, okay? And the Latin name escapes me. They're not harmful, and in fact, they're actually kind of beneficial because they scarify the seed of the golden rain tree, and they won't grow after they're scarified. So they're very good, and they're just going to be hanging around for a couple of weeks, maybe three at the most, and then they're going to go away.
Okay.
They don't hurt your turf. They don't hurt your landscape. They don't hurt the soil.
And one last thing. 2 years ago, I used a product. It was by Scott's. It was a 50-pound bag. It was called Green Max.
Uh-huh.
But now it was very good. It was like a fertilizer. It didn't burn the grass. But now I noticed that they changed their name to Scott Max. It's in Costco, a big 55-pound bag. And is that usable on 410 St. Augustine grass, like in early May?
Well, Al, I'm not going to talk about a specific brand, but just okay. Whenever you're using a product, you always want to follow the label to the T and make sure that you're not overdoing it. All right, great question. Thank you so much. The little bug is not going to be harmful. Let's, if you want to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have some wonderful gardening questions coming up for you. And we also, again, I'm going to be at Lowe's today from 9:30 till 12. If you want me to help you with your landscape design, bring pictures of your plants, your yard. I will help you landscape. Also, there's a lot of free giveaways from the city of Sanford. And if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we would love to have your gardening questions for 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Beverly in Tallahassee. Beverly, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Teresa. How are y'all doing down there?
We're doing great. I'm so glad you called.
Well, I've been out of pocket for a while, but I'm back.
Excellent. So tell us what's going on in your garden up in Tallahassee.
Well, I wanted to touch base about the weather, and then I have a potted tomato question if we have time.
Okay.
So Thursday week ago, Thursday night, it started raining about 9:30 and quit raining about 7 a.m. And we got about 11 inches of rain.
Wow.
I mean, it didn't stop. It didn't, you know how sometimes it'll come and go?
Yes.
Steady all night.
And we need that so much. Oh, I'm so pleased for you.
Yeah, you'll get it eventually. It'll trickle. I think it goes, when it goes down the map, it goes downstream, right?
It does. It goes through Ocala, and then it's sometimes down the I-4 corridor. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get some.
So we had roads closed that people who aren't familiar with the area would be very surprised.
Oh, my goodness.
The ditches are still pretty full. But so I wanted to ask you about this last spring, for reasons too long to explain to, I was going to put some tomato plants in those great big black plastic nursery pots.
Yeah.
And I got them going, but then things got in the way and they never went anywhere. So I've got these I've got 6 or 8 great big potted, you know, nursery things full of fresh, rather fresh soil, you know, potting soil.
Okay.
But it's just been sitting out there. The weeds hadn't been growing in it. Should I dump it out and start over? Or can
no, no, it's still good.
Okay.
It's still good. No, go ahead and do it. You can, it's, you know, I would do transplants rather than seeds if you want to put tomatoes in them. Okay. But no, do not dump out any dirt. That's fine.
Okay, yay, you made my whole week.
Oh, you made our whole week, because we have not heard from you. So take care. I'm hoping everything's good for you. Thank you so much, and give us a call back. Don't be such a stranger.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye. Hon. That's Beverly in Tallahassee. Longtime listener, and she was a very frequent caller, and I loved when she talked about her birds and all of her plants. And so she's wonderful. Now, Phyllis from Orlando, she texted me and she said, or she sent me an email, and she says, why are my agapanthus not blooming? They're in the full sun. They've been in the ground for a few years, yet still no blooms. Well, one of the first things, and you answered it, you said it was in full sun. So Lily of the Niles really do very well. They bloom more when they're in full sun. And full sun is 6 to 8 hours. So if you get morning sun and deep afternoon shade, they may need a little bit of a, you know, help or moved to a little bit sunnier location. Now, I need to ask, though, Phyllis, are you using fertilizer? Because after the plants have been in the ground a couple of years and they've been blooming steadily, you know, every year, the soil starts to get depleted, and then they need that nutrition. So you just need to, you know, fertilize on a regular basis or add compost or, you know, some type of soil amendments with minor nutrients and, of course, your phosphorus and your potassium, you know, so those good nutrients that the plants need. So if you're not fertilizing, I would say go ahead and do that, because they shouldn't take a year off. Like some shrubs and trees, when they bloom very heavily, they might skip a season. Agapanthus should bloom for you really well every year. Now, the other thing is, how much water are they getting? Agapanthus, they've got that thick leaf, and they do need to be watered on a regular basis. If, as in last year, they didn't get enough water or experienced a drought, then it could possibly affect their blooms for the following year. So, again, you want to make sure that you're having well-drained soils, but they do need to get, you know, irrigated, supplemented when we don't get the rainfall. And then you want to feed it in the spring and summer, like I said. And then, you know, again, maybe they're just taking a year off. So I would look at the leaves, make sure you're getting a lot of leaves, and that don't over-fertilize with nitrogen. You want to make sure you're getting some phosphorus and potassium in there, because when you're putting a lot of nitrogen down, they're going to concentrate on leaves and not necessarily bloom as well. And I will tell you, I think they're a little late this year. Agapanthus have, I've seen some that have been really, really blooming very well. And then a couple of sites, they're still not, you know, coming through. So I don't know whether that's a variety, you know, a reason that it's just a different variety than the others. But because I love Peter Pan, I love the dark midnight blue Lily of the Niles. They're just, the darker the color, the more fantastic they are. So I don't know if it's a variety reason or not. But Phyllis, thank you for emailing. Let us know what's going on, and we appreciate it. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. And so David in Winter Park, he says, what's wrong with our hibiscus? And again, this is the time of the year when we're not getting a lot of rainfall. We've got the humidity. And if you've got a fenced-in yard, you're not going to have really good air circulation. So you want to make sure that you're walking through and you're looking at your plants and even touching your plants. And so as we were walking through, I found that the hibiscus, the ones that had a lot of serious issues with it, their yellow leaves, there were spider mites in them because they had a lot of webs around them. You could see the little mites. But when you touch the leaves on the other hibiscus, you start to see a little white fly, a little white bug just flittering around. There was only one or two, and that's no big whoop. But then they also had a lot of leaves that had been eaten. So I'm looking through this hibiscus, and sure enough, right in the center of the hibiscus, I found a leaf that was folded over, Lizzie, mm-hmm. and it kind of looked like it had webbing on it, like it was had been sealed up. And when you open it up, there was a hibiscus sawfly larva in it.
Oh.
So this little bug, so usually you don't see the hibiscus sawfly, but if you look around your plant, you'll see leaves folded over. Open those up, and those are the bad insects.
Oh.
And so you can use a neem oil. You can use 7. You can also use any kind of insecticidal soap for it. But for the little larva, for the sawfly, you want to use 7 and some type of it. BioAdvanced has a good one. And then also there's several good products on the market for it. So,
yeah,
you know, but look at your plant. If you start to see the holes in something, you know, look at it. It's either snails or slugs, or it's some type of caterpillar.
Now, I've seen quite a few little snails that have been on my cucumbers and my green beans. And I've just been like flicking them off. Bink. Yeah. And but now well,
you just don't want to flick them off because you know how long it'll take them to get back to that plant?
Well, if they're eating my plant, hopefully it'll take them a whole year. But I went and bought some neem oil spray just to have on hand. But there are a few like on my... my bell peppers, mm-hmm. I've noticed a few little chewy spots, and then on some of my roses, but I can't find what's chewing.
It's probably, they're probably down in the ground, and they climb up at night, and they do the damage while you're sleeping. And so snail, I know, it's so
bad.
So you want to use snail and slug bait when you have snails and slugs. Now, they're a symptom. The area is probably really wet, and I noticed in your garden photos that you have a lot of shade. Right there in that area, is there?
Well, the sun stays on all of that, though.
Oh, okay.
This area. The pumpkins I moved towards the back area so that way I could control the water. But yeah, they all have full sun all day except for the one spot early in the morning.
Okay, so you want to use snail and slug bait, then that area is wet. So how often are you watering it?
It depends whenever I see the soil is dry. So it's like every other day. The watermelons and the corn and stuff I've been watering every day. But yeah, the other vegetables that I sent you pictures of,
yeah,
about every other day.
That might be a little too much.
Okay.
Okay, so the snails and slugs, they love that moisture. So if you dry it out a little bit, I would just, you know, my good rule of thumb and my best tool is my finger. Stick it in the ground. If it's cool, moist, or damp, you don't have to water. Okay. And so I would probably go 2 times a week.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. But again, it just depends on your soil and how hot the temperatures are. And, you know, so, and how old your plants are. Usually seedlings.
They're new. Everything's new.
Yeah, they're new. They might need a little bit more, but you want to have where it dries out. To be constantly wet is not good.
Thank you for that. Yeah, because it's that paranoia of, oh my gosh, they're growing. They need to be watered like you feed your kids, you know?
Yeah. So. And so then that way you don't get the fungal issues either. And so the spots and the stuff. So we really can't help it during the summertime when we're getting our rainy season. But during May, April and May, you just 2 to 3 times a week.
I am like so paranoid about losing, like I've got mulch coming in by the truckload for me to put over my watermelons and corn to try to keep some of that moisture in the ground, because that's the only thing I have planted in ground. All my other vegetables and pumpkins, everything's in the raised beds that my husband built me.
He's so good. I mean, I love them. So we posted pictures of your garden on Facebook so everybody can go check it out and give Lizzie kudos. And we're really excited. So I really love that. So JAC and Cocoa Beach, we're going to get to your gardening questions when we come back. Indigo Agapanthus is a dark. We just got them in. That's Howie. So go check out Peterson's Nursery and Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed anything from this last hour, go to where you listen to your podcasts at and search Better Lawns and Gardens, or you can go to betterlawns.com and catch all of our podcasts there.